Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
So the theme verse, as you know, is when Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." That's how it appears in the Gospel of St. Matthew, "Whoever wants to be my disciple." As you can see in the Gospel of St. Luke, it's "if anyone desires to come after me." So it's a condition that the Lord set for us. If we want to follow him, if we want to come after him, if we want to be his disciples, then we must deny ourselves and take up our cross. Now, the focus of today will be, well, how can I practically take up my cross? Well, there was one character in the Gospels, of course, who was able to do that very simply, and that was Simon of Cyrene. Mina sent me some notes, which were very helpful. And so he was able to do that literally. He was able to take up the cross of Christ. And you can imagine the scene. Christ has been up for 14 hours, 16 hours, has been dragged left, right, and center before different courts, scourged and tried. And, you know, the Romans were particularly adept at beating somebody without, you know, killing them. And in that state, he is carrying the cross to Golgotha and stumbling. And so Simon sees that scene, and I think for him, if we ask him about this verse, he says, well, he would say, I had no choice. How could you witness that scene and not rush to carry that cross? I had no choice. Can we have a similar mindset? That I feel like I have no choice but to carry the cross. And how can I carry the cross? I wish I had the opportunity that Simon of Cyrene had, but we don't. So how can I carry my cross? We can carry the cross, and I'll just talk about three things before concluding. We can carry the cross of curse and shame. Carry the cross of curse and shame. As you know, in Deuteronomy, we learn that he who is hanged is accursed of God. So the Lord, St. Paul talks about him, he became a curse. So he accepted that shame. He accepted that curse. In 1 Corinthians, we read, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And continues in verse 23, "We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness." A stumbling block to the Jews. How can God be treated in this way? And for the Greeks, it's just madness, it's just nonsense. On the cross, the Lord carried that curse and that shame. And we have the opportunity to carry that cross of curse and of shame daily. St. John Chrysostom, he talks about it in a really beautiful way. And this quote is lengthy, so I'll just break it down. So he says to us, "There are many disciples of Christ who justly claim that they are indifferent to material possessions." These same people can justly claim that they are indifferent to worldly power. And this is all of us to some extent. We're not motivated by money. We're not pursuing power. And St. John says, for those people who say that, your claim is just. You're right. You aren't searching for material things. You aren't searching for power. But there may still be one earthly attribute to which they cling: reputation. And he goes on to say, they may wish to be regarded by others as virtuous. So he's saying, just be careful. Don't be too pleased with yourself if you are trampling on money and trampling on power. You might have let go of that, but are you holding on? And am I holding on to reputation, to perception? They may wish to be regarded by others as virtuous. They may want to be admired for their charity, their honesty, their integrity, their self-denial. I've trampled on money, I've trampled on power, but I'm holding on to reputation. I wish to be admired for my self-denial. St. John's warning us about. They may not actually draw people's attention to these qualities, but they are pleased to know that others respect them. I'm not going to stand from the mountaintops and tell people about my self-denial, but it feels good when somebody recognizes that or compliments me for that. I've given up money, I've given up power, but I'm holding on to reputation. Thus, when someone falsely accuses them of some wrongdoing, they react with furious indignation. This is how I know if I'm guilty of this disease. How I respond to a false accusation. I've trampled on money, I've trampled on power, but if I am furiously indignant, upset, disturbed, when somebody falsely accuses me, then I am preoccupied. They protect their reputation with the same ferocity as the rich people protect their gold. Giving up material possessions and worldly power is easy compared to giving up reputation. To be falsely accused and yet to remain spiritually serene is the ultimate test of faith. So one way that we can carry our cross is to carry shame, to carry the curse, to carry that false accusation, that misunderstanding, happily and joyfully. And this is not to be misunderstood with being happy and joyful and gracious when you are beaten for your faults, as St. Peter says. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults that you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Can I carry my cross by carrying the shame and carrying curse and carrying a false accusation? You know, God has a sense of humour. And Abu Nyamub, when he shares stories, he talks about life and death situations and, you know, oh, she died, obviously, you know. I don't have that, so I'll tell you about the gym. Okay. So yesterday, I'm at the gym with one of our beloved youth. And we see a machine that we want to use. And there's some stuff around the machine, not on the machine. No one's around. We look left, we look right. I think, oh, looks like it's free. So we get on, me and my friend. And then the lady comes out of nowhere and she says, oh, sorry, I was using this, but it's all right. There's another machine over there, exactly the same one. I'll just hop on there. Okay, sorry, we didn't see you. All good. And then this big buff fellow walks up to us. Hey, boys. That lady was on that machine. And then we said, oh, sorry, you know, we asked her. And I was so disturbed. Do you think I'm such a mean guy that I would go and bully this lady with my strong friend and take her? Do you think that's what I am? I'm a nice man. I was so disturbed. I couldn't tolerate for 1 second a random person who I'm lifting much more than coming to tell me off. I couldn't tolerate it. And then guess yesterday, whose feast it is? Saint Macarius. I love this saint. And you know the story so well. He was falsely accused by a girl saying that this monk impregnated him. And then he said, oh, Macarius, you have a wife and child. You have to work harder now to provide for them. And he spent her pregnancy doing more of his crafts and handiwork so he could sell, so he could provide for his so-called family. Only until the moment of her labor came and she was in agony for days, and she then confessed that she made a false accusation against the saint. And the people rushed to Saint Macarius. He prayed for her, of course, and she delivered, but the people rushed to apologize to him for the false accusation over these months, and of course to take the man's blessing for his silence in the face of his reputation being absolutely tarnished. But as soon as he heard that that was the case, he escaped. He didn't want to hear it. He is really somebody who has not just given up money, not just given up power, but has given up reputation. He's carrying the cross of shame and carrying the cross of the curse. And the Lord's sense of humor, that's the saint of the day, on the day that I couldn't tolerate the word from the weak stranger. So, can I, when I'm falsely accused, be like Saint Macarius, you know, and just accept it, and just have peace, and just be ready and willing to give up my reputation? Second thing is, can we carry the cross of love? And of course, on the cross, the Lord demonstrated his great love to us, calling all of us to him. In Romans 5, 7 to 8, we read, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love, his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And we say that in the absolution of the first hour, he shines his sun on the sinners and on the righteous. That unconditional love, the Lord died for us. Scarcely for a righteous person will somebody be willing to die, let alone for me, a sinner. But that's what the Lord does. And he shines his light on the righteous and on the unjust. Can I carry that cross of love? And of course, the Lord, he did that of his own will. We say that in the confession at the end of the liturgy. Of his own will for us all. Voluntarily, of course. Can I carry the cross of love voluntarily? Because sometimes we might feel, especially in the service, you might feel compelled at times. I don't want to do this, but I have to. I don't want to visit this person, but I have to. I don't want to attend this camp, but I have to. I certainly don't want to listen to this talk, but I have to. And so we feel compelled at times. But can we do it voluntarily? You know, in Matthew 5:41, we read, "If anyone forces," or in other translations, "compels you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. This is a really beautiful verse, which would have been piercing to the ears of the people listening at that time. You know why? Because there was a law about this. And this was the law, that the Roman occupiers had dominion over everybody else. And so, as a Roman soldier, you could go to a perfect stranger and say to him, "You see this bag? Carry it for 1 mile. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care where you're going. This is what you have to do." And it was the law to be obedient to that. That was the situation. And so you can only imagine how painful that would be. You're not treated as a human being. Who cares what you're doing or where you're going or what you've got? Who cares? Just carry this. But they weren't allowed to go one step further than a mile. The law allowed them to do that up to 1 mile only. And then the Lord says, "Go with him too. Go with him too." It was a shocking thing to say. But it teaches us a really important principle in the service. If I'm doing things by compulsion, then it will probably be with a heavy heart. It will probably be kind of waiting for it to be over. Will probably be maybe not that enjoyable, maybe even not that edifying. But if I can walk that second mile and say, look, I am here not because my superintendent is forcing me or the group coordinator is forcing me, I'm here because I want to be here. And I'm here and not just doing what they're asking me to do or what they're compelling me to do, but I'm here to do more. We carry the cross of love, the voluntary love, that offering, going that second mile. And our service will be so much sweeter when we're just doing things voluntarily and going that second mile. One of the fathers was telling me that one Mother's Day, he decided to go through all of the mothers in his phone and send them all a happy Mother's Day message. It took him a number of hours. And he said, that was one of the most joyful days in my service. Because Abuna was saying that a lot of the time, things are being forced upon you. Come and do this and come and do that. And whereas this was a rare moment where I walked that second mile. I'm just reflecting on what he said. He didn't say that. But it gives a sweetness to the service. I'm not just doing what I'm compelled to do. I'm going that second mile. I'm carrying that cross of love that is unconditional and that is unending. And the third way that we can carry the cross is carry the cross of forgiveness. Okay. Of course, on the cross, the Lord saved us. And he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots in Luke 23:34. Another way that I can carry the cross, maybe not literally like Simon of Cyrene, but is to carry that cross of forgiveness. Pray for the people that have hurt me. Make peace. Smile and accept the possibility that you'll be ignored. The joy that you'll be ignored, actually. Carrying that cross of forgiveness. Now, all of this sounds hard. Carrying the cross of shame, carrying the cross of love, carrying the cross of forgiveness. But the Lord promises us, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. These are heavy burdens for us to carry, Lord. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He carries with us. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this verse is very well known, but I think one part we don't tend to focus on is you will find rest for your souls. If you take that yoke, if you carry your cross, you will find rest for your soul. And so if we look at carrying the cross, denying ourselves, as Abuna was mentioning earlier, is a gift. It's because one of the reasons is it gives rest for our souls. Carry the cross of curse and shame. That's painful. But what's more painful is trying to defend yourself all the time, trying to justify yourself all the time, trying to explain yourself all the time, trying to make sure that everybody perceives all your intentions as good. That's so disturbing for a soul. But if I'm able to carry the cross of shame and disregard my reputation, I will find rest for my soul. As Abuna exemplified when he told us the story about those people that were abusing him. That's a very heavy cross to carry, Abuna, that people just come and accuse you. But we could see the rest in his soul. If you carry the cross of unconditional love, you'll find rest in your soul. You know, it's exhausting. Oh, look, I'm only going to love who loves me. And that person deserves 10 out of 10 love, and that person deserves 1 out of 10 love, and that person has been demoted from 10 out of 10 to 1 out of 10 love. And if that person says sorry, then they're going to go back up to 4 out of 10 love. Oh my goodness. Find rest for your soul and love. To love unconditionally is hard, but the alternative is harder. Carry the cross of forgiveness. Of course, it's hard to forgive, but we all know the destruction and disturbance that a lack of forgiveness has on our soul. And so, when the Lord gives us this commandment, it's not for His benefit, but it's for ours. We beg the Lord that we can carry our cross and look at it not as a burden, but as a gift and as a joy. The cross of curse and shame, the cross of love, the cross of forgiveness, and thereby find rest for our souls, and glory be to God forever. Amen. Now, we're very lucky to have Uncle Magdi with us. And Uncle Magdi, I'm really sorry. But I'm really, really, really sorry. But I'm only following the example of that. So if you please can add something for us, Uncle Magdi, and answer whatever questions that we have.
To tell you something St. Paul mentioned in the Philippians chapter 2. If you still remember it, this will be great. From verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of the others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those in earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. I think if we are looking for suffering or carrying the cross or forgive, the best model we can see is Jesus Christ. Jesus is my model to follow, to follow him. Sometimes we ignore this. We ignore that Jesus did all the things for me. And can you imagine when he went to the cross? Is this legal? Is this logical for someone to go to the cross for no reason, but for his humility, for me and for you? So I think if at certain time or at any time you feel that there is suffering and it is you are full of hatred about what's happening, okay, look for the cross. And when you look for the cross, you will find peace. We are his followers. So what he did, we have to do. And this is very important in our suffering. All of us will suffer at a certain time. All of us. No one in the world is without suffering. But who will comfort me when I look for him? And when I find him and look for him, he will give me comfort through his love and through his model. So whatever happening to you, whatever circumstances, you have a model. And I'm sure that if I look for him, he will give me the courage to carry it. He will give me the grace to carry it. If we look for any other one, you can't find the grace. But he is the only one to give me his grace, so I can carry his cross and I can follow him. I can deny myself. No one deny himself more than Jesus. So if you are looking for the best model for denying yourself, he is. Look at him, ask him to give you the courage to do it. It needs a courage, but it needs a grace. And he gives us the grace. So at any time you feel that, yes, you are troubled, you are not happy about what's happening, you feel that you are denied your rights, look at him. And I'm sure you will be comforted. You will be to God forever and ever.
Does anybody have any questions for Uncle Magdi? Oh, there's a question, Uncle. From your granddaughter.
Is it an option? What's the question again?
The question is, if it's we are asked to go the second mile in our service and it's a burden, how can we do it without feeling it's a burden and actually enjoy it? Is that right?
If I look for this as a burden, and I have to, I am obliged to do it, then I have to do it. If it is coming from the work or any circumstances like this, and they ask me to maybe stay a couple of hours more in your working time, what you will do? The other option is, if they say to you, we will give you 2 hours, and we'll give you for each hour $500, what you will do? I'm sure you will agree. Okay. When the Lord said the following, do this for me, and I'll give you heaven, what you will do? Yes, heaven. You are obeying the orders, you are obeying the commandments. And when we obey the commandments, we'll go to heaven. He promises. And he is faithful in his promises. So whenever you find something you are not happy with, look for the reward. Jesus is the reward. And I'm sure that any time you fulfill any commandment, you will get the power of it and the feeling that exceeds anything else. Try. If you don't try, you would not find how lovely it is. She said, is this every time you return back to zero, or you are built up? Okay. If you are in stage one in the school, and you have passing an exam, are you rewarded to go to year two, or you return back to year one? If you pass. So when you obey the commandments, you will pass. So every time you build up your experience and you build up your trust in the Lord and His commandments. But these are situations you can never forget. And every one of these situations will be in your brain and it is there. Obeying the commandments is a state of mind. If you put in your mind, yes, I have to obey it, even if it is hard, then through the grace of the Lord, you will do it.
Any other questions for Uncle Magdi? Okay, yes, son.
Is it ever okay to say no in the service?
Is it ever okay to say no in the service?
What type of service you are to do?
This is an example of Sunday school service. If you're serving and you ask for additional services, is it ever okay to say no?
Can you do it?
Or you feel that you can't do it, you feel you don't have enough capacity.
Is it really, or you try to make yourself comfort? If you try to make yourself comfort, please do it. But if really you cannot, then you cannot. And if you receive this order from the Lord, it is different than you receive it from the Pope, for example. It's completely different. He is the owner of the service. Maybe you're asked to change from here to there, or from this branch to another branch. It doesn't matter. You obey it. Even you don't understand why it is like this, but obey it. She's saying, if you are happy or enjoying one of the services, all the time you can ask for it. Okay. Is this order or request is from the Lord or from a personal perspective? This is number one. Number two. We are asked to do the work that the Lord assigned to us. For example, Habib Girgis, one day they asked him to be a bishop, and he said, no, I can't do this. It is not my talent. I know my talent. My talent is to teach in theological college, to teach in Sunday school, something like that. But to be a bishop, it is not. Can you imagine St. Anthony offered him to be the Pope? Do you think that he will succeed? For sure not. It is not his talent. So sins must be taken in the concept of it. Is this my talent or not? And then ask the Lord and he will guide you.
Thank you, Uncle Magdi. It's a joy. It's a joy to hear from you, and I'll hand over to Kevin. Glory be to God forever.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.